To NURFM 103.7. Since all of the chatter recently around North Korea and the thoughts that they are producing nuclear weapons, time to have a look back into Australia's past and to find that we were very, very close to developing a nuclear weapons program ourselves. To talk about that this morning from the University of Newcastle's School of Humanities and Social Science is Associate Professor Wayne Reynolds. Good morning, Wayne. How close did Australia come to having some nukes right here in our own backyard?
Good morning, Mark. Well, we looked at it very seriously from World War II until the 1970s. So you really need to see two phases of Australia's attitude to nuclear weapons. There's the phase where it's obviously had a huge impact, the bombing of the Japanese by nuclear weapons in 1945, and quite a number of countries looked very seriously in that two-decade period. But after the 1970s, of course, there was a new regime, the non-proliferation system, and the Americans sorted out all sorts of different arrangements with allies, including Australia, which meant that they could back away to a significant degree from having their own nuclear weapons.
I guess, Wayne, if we go back to World War II to start with, experts from here in Australia and Britain did work alongside those in the US as part of the Manhattan Project, building the first atomic bomb. But things kind of changed after that, didn't it? The US decided to go it alone.
That's true, Mark. In 1946, the British in particular thought was going to be a collaborative program after the war, and not just for nuclear weapons, but down the track, and it was certainly down the track, that they would collaborate with the production of nuclear power. And the United Nations in 1945 were actually having these very discussions on how this nuclear genie, having been let out of the bottle, could be used for civilian purposes. But in 1946, the American Senate banned sharing of any information with respect to nuclear weapons and, to a very significant extent, nuclear power, which was, of course, related to it. So from 1946 right through to the late 1950s, when they gradually amended things to let the British back in, they cut off this aid. So you've got a period from 1946 until about 1960 when Britain and others are going to have to, if they're going to pursue nuclear weapons, are going to have to take their own steps. And of course with the British, they've got the relationship with Australia and also South Africa, so they start moving in collaboration towards a nuclear weapons arsenal for the British Commonwealth.
I guess, Wayne, fast forward to the last 10 or 20 years, the attitudes across the globe have changed dramatically to nuclear weapons and indeed to nuclear power as well. Considering where we're at in Australia at the moment, can you see an appetite re-emerging for nuclear technology?
Well, there are two sides to it, Mark. The attitude to nuclear power in Asia is quite different to what it has been in Europe. Notwithstanding what happened in Fukushima in Japan, India and China, and now Japan, are fairly wedded to having fairly robust nuclear power systems. As far as the weapons side of it is concerned, the end of the Cold War in 1989 has certainly rekindled a lot of concerns about security, and you could see a number of countries start to reassess their historical attitudes towards nuclear weapons. India, for example, which had let off a nuclear device in 1974, but we knew 10 years before that that they had the capacity to do just that. But in 1998, they also declared that they would be a nuclear weapons state, and Pakistan, its rival at the same time, did exactly the same thing. And of course, as we all know, North Korea, with a much less robust arsenal, but North Korea has also tried to get into the game as well. But many other countries, Japan, the Republic of Korea, have very robust nuclear systems and would have very little difficulty in acquiring nuclear weapons quickly.
Wayne, with all of that being said, you've also got to keep in mind that the Americans have got more nuclear warheads than there are grains of sand on the ocean. So, although it only takes one or two to start a world war, you would kind of think that you would hope that things aren't going to go that way.
Well, the Americans actually have not only a very sizable nuclear arsenal, they have very powerful conventional weapons capabilities. And what you're now seeing is that the Americans doing what the Russians were doing in the 1940s. They had significant conventional capabilities, the Russians, the Soviet Union in the 1940s, and the Americans declared that they really needed nuclear weapons to balance that out. Well, now the shoe's on the other foot, and you've got various states saying, well, if we don't have nuclear weapons, we're going to have visited upon us what was visited upon Saddam Hussein. and Iraq. So it doesn't matter whether you've got a conventional arsenal. The Americans are going to with their modern conventional capabilities, particularly space-based weapons and precision-guided weapons. The Americans don't need nuclear weapons. So you're getting that debate. It's a sort of a reverse debate about not just the role of nuclear weapons, but about the role of armed forces. And in respect to the latter, and particularly the technological basis for these armed forces, the Americans have a massive lead over any of their rivals.
With that in mind, very quickly, Wayne, do you think Australia will ultimately get into the game?
Well, at the moment, we've invested in the American, what they call the extended deterrent, or this nuclear umbrella, which is implicit in the American alliance, but it's increasingly become a reality since the 1970s, with the Americans establishing bases here with surveillance systems above Australia and the Indian Ocean, where they sort of virtually hover these satellite systems, very complex satellite systems, which have been feeding data historically down to Pine Gap and Narunga, Northwest Cape, and these days, of course, much more robust systems. And also, the Americans are deployed very closely around China and Korea and what have you, and developing pretty advanced anti-missile capabilities. So I don't see why Australia in the short term would just rush in and acquire them. But that said, our air warfare destroyers have a capacity. They're mobile, but they also have a capacity to deploy standard missiles which are capable of intercepting weapons as well. So we'd be looking to the American alliance at this point. However, you always plan for contingencies. You always need a pool of scientists and you need the know-how. There are many countries that are still sitting there. They've signed the non-proliferation treaty, but the genie's out of the bottle, Mark. They're going to want to know if things do go badly, that they can, in a relatively short time, take that step if necessary.
Wayne, some interesting times ahead. We will watch it over the next couple of years with great interest. Thank you for your time with us.
It's my pleasure, Mark.
From the University of Newcastle School of Humanities and Social Science, Associate Professor Wayne Reynolds, talking about Australia's past, present and possibly future in terms of nuclear technology. Here at 2NURFM, 103.7.